This week on Triggered Reds, we are joined by world champion boxing trainer, Peter Fiori. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media and follow us on Apple Music, Amazon and Spotify. Keep an eye out for upcoming content over the next few months. Hope you enjoy.
How are you?
Brilliant. How are you, Peter? You okay?
Good. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
No problem. Is everything working all right for you?
Yeah. Perfect. I'm Stephen, by the way. The other lad's David. So it's good to meet you, obviously.
Yeah. No problem.
I think it's my uncle Stephen that's been harassing you to come on with us. So, you know, shout out to him and appreciate you coming on and giving us your time.
No problem at all. No problem.
Have you been in camp today? Have you training or is it a day off for you and your fighters?
No. We do our training more or less from Monday to Thursday.
All right.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, Peter Clark takes over with the conditioning and all the strength and conditioning stuff. So they train 5 or 6 days a week.
Yeah. At the moment, is it yourself, Savannah and Huey, are they your main focus, or have you got a couple of other fighters as well in the gym that you're focusing on?
I've got Huey and Savannah. They're obviously my main focus, and I'm helping a young lad out at the moment who Tony Bellew manages. Spear Shack. Good little fighter he is. So just giving him a lift at the minute. He's a very nice kid and he's good talent as well.
Is he from up this way? Is he Liverpool way as well?
He is.
Yeah. I'll look into him. Yeah. I'll definitely give him a look, see what he's about.
Yeah. What weight's he fighting at, Pete?
I think he fights at 62, but or 60 kilos, but I think he needs to be going to 64.
Yeah.
So we'll just have a look and see how he goes. But nice young fellow and got bags of talent. So he'll be one to watch.
Definitely keep an eye out for him. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. At the minute, then what's the plan for Savannah and Huey? In Savannah's case, she's just become WBO champion. That's back in October, I think. And is it just the Clarissa Shields fight? Just trying to get that over the line, and that's the main focus in that division for you.
Well, you know, it is a big fight and it's got plenty of public interest, so we have to see. But the main thing is Savannah's going to fight again in July, hopefully for another world title. And then we'll see if the Shields fight can be made towards the end of the year.
Yeah, because there's a vacant one at the minute, isn't there, in that division? Is it? I'm not sure if it's IBF or WBO.
I think it is, yeah, the IBF. Yeah. So hopefully she can challenge for that in July.
Yeah. She does look like one of the best up there with Katie Taylor, of course, you know, pound for pound out of the women. And I think if she beats Shields again, I know she's done it in the amateurs, hasn't she, like, way back when, but, you know, that might solidify herself as pound for pound or, you know, something like that. I don't even know if that's something that you consider when you're training. Is that something that's important to you with Savannah, like the pound for pound rankings? Or
I just take every fight as it comes, but I think she's a super talent, and she's gonna. I think she's gonna wipe through to the division. To be honest, I really do. So I'm just looking forward to taking Savannah fight by fight. We've both got our feet on the floor. She knows what's what. She's grounded. She really puts the hard work in. She's dedicated. She listens. So you know, good things are coming. She's a super talent, and you know. So I'd rather let her fist do the talking. Get this fight out the way in July, and hopefully this mega fight can be made. And then, you know, if she gets through that, then you know she can be. She's up there with the pound for pound, isn't she?
Yeah, 100%. With just touching on Savannah, it's obviously well documented. She was with TMT, and then she's come back to yourself. And like from the outside looking in, TMT, it seems very chaotic. Now some fighters might thrive on that. I've only seen it like on the internet and Jeff Mayweather's going around with the camera and stuff, but it just seems a very chaotic environment, and she's come back to yourself and flourished. I mean, what's your approach when you're managing fighters and training them? Is it all care is on them? They should be a bit more relaxed, as to say. Obviously, someone like Floyd, he thrives on that lifestyle, and it's each to their own. But with yourself, you know, have you got a preference how you manage your fighters, how they should keep themselves healthy and fit and all that? Or
Look, Floyd Mayweather, you know, great man, you know, done fabulous things for boxing. But the rest of it is a hype train. She never even met Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
So she had a 10-week camp with us for her first fight. So she went over there, had a week's rest and had the fight. So after that, I think she reigned over there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. She didn't like it. And she came back because mostly she was doing her own thing out there. So it wasn't, I think what they wanted her to do out there, Savannah, is have one fight and push you straight into the Shields fight. You know, in other words, you're either going to be a super champion straight away or jog on. You know, it was one of them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, you know, that's not what it's about for us anyway. So, like I say, she come back and we got on with her career. So she's trained with me since she turned professional, actually, from her first fight all the way through. So it's been good. It's been a good journey so far. And, you know, I tip her to do big things.
Well, she's obviously in, you know, very capable hands with yourself. And just one of the things you mentioned then about fights in July and, you know, future fights coming up. Mm. When it comes to matchmaking and promotions, and, you know, you've got Hennessy, Warren, you know, Bob Arum, Matchroom, how much does, you know, the coach and the fighter have a say in the decision for the fight? You know, or does a lot of it come to the matchmaking, or do you guys, you know, push, we want this fight, we want this fight, we want this fight, and it comes off? Or, you know, is it more of a collective thing? How does it kind of work?
Not really. You've got to have a good relationship with the promoter.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, the promoter puts things forward and he says, you know, what do you think of this? Do you want this opponent? Do you want that opponent? And, yeah, to be fair, it's been a little bit, you know, it should be very easy for Eddie because some of the fights he's put forward, we've turned them down because they're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, because she wants to test herself and she wants good fights anyway. So so that's where we're at. So, no, it's a two-way street, actually.
Yeah.
You know, the promoter finds a fighter, obviously. He's discussing with all that with them. And they'll come back to us and say, do you want that fight? And then we say yes or no, and that's our choice. And then they move on and find another one. You know, or we say, yeah, we'll take it. So it's not something where you've got no choice in it. You know, it's not like that.
Yeah. Well, that's refreshing to hear, you know, a fighter knocking back fighters that, you know, she deems and you deem not at her level, because, you know, some fighters are just run through them, and you see those fighters with those type of records. And obviously, you know, every fight's dangerous and needs to be treated with respect. I think I was knowing that, you know, we were going to have a conversation with yourself. I watched the Huey and Parker fight back, and I'm flabbergasted still by, you know, the judging and some of the decisions in that fight. And I think some of the counter shots that Huey was hitting him with, I know disrespect to Parker, but was this something that you guys worked on in training camp? Because Parker was coming in with those big, direct, straight shots, and Huey was just slipping him and hitting him with, you know, shots from all kind of crazy angles. And I was just watching that fight back thinking, what a terrible injustice that was. And in terms of, you know, matchmaking for Huey in the future, you know, could you see a Parker fight, or, you know, a Joe Joyce fight, a Dubois fight, or, you know, fighters higher up the line, because he's clearly got outstanding pedigree?
He has, and, you know, we're just taking it step by step, and we're having a look. So Huey will have at least 2 fights this year. And we just, take whatever comes, and it's very political, this heavyweight job. So we have to just see what we can get when we can get it. So it's you know, it's one of them. I don't like dwelling on the past, because Huey was a 22-year-old kid, and you know, we believe he won that fight fair and square. But like I say, but the good thing is, he's developing his game, and you know, now he's a man, isn't he? He's 26. You know, there's a big, you know, his build, his mannerisms, everything about him is totally different. He's a seasoned professional. He's a mature heavyweight. And, you know, he's had 28 fights. He's fought all the top contenders there as a kid coming through.
Yeah.
But now we're looking at an adult. We're looking at a man. So now it's a different ball game. So it's just a matter of keeping Huey busy and waiting till the right opportunity comes along for the big fights. But the good thing is, what we're doing with Huey, we're totally working on, You know, he's not stagnant waiting for the phone to ring. He's training every day in the gym. We've got sparring partners, working on stuff. So Yui's constantly, you know, he's constantly polishing that steel.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not just, his skill set has not remained where it is. This is a young fighter that's improving his game all the time. So like I say, he fought Marius Wack last time out. There was still a few flaws there, which I seen, and we've gone back working on them. And this is what the fight game's about. You fight decent opposition to see where you are and what you need to work on. And that's what we've been constantly doing. So at least when he gets there, which he will definitely get there, he's been through a hell of a lot and he's learned a lot.
Yeah, you don't get many fighters his age, especially in the heavyweight division, that have had so many fights against top level opposition. And I think one of the reporters after the fight asked you a question, and your reaction to it, I loved it. I think he said something about could he have been hurt in the fight, and you said it's heavyweight boxing, you're going to get wet. And I just thought it was a brilliant soundbite from that interview. And the reporter, you know, he just kind of shrunk into himself. And I think with him, you know, with Huey, with his skill set and his range and the opposition that he's lost to, he didn't lose to Parker. The other two guys, Pulev and Povetkin, top level opposition that can you know, challenge anyone. So 100% think he is going to be a world heavyweight champion.
You know, all of the working on with Huey, he's got only minor tweaks, believe it or not. He's just got to relax and let his hands flow, and he'd be too much for most of them out there. Yeah. So, like I say, he's 26 years of age, and he's just waiting. He's waiting in the wings, but he'll definitely get his chance. And I'm looking forward to the journey with Yui. But at 26, you know, this is a guy who's got what, at least 10 or 12 years in the game still.
Yeah.
So he's got big things to come. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You said he's quite seasoned and becoming a man. And then you say his age, 26, which is still so young as well. So it's quite frightening to see how he'll develop that next side of his fighting style, you know, over the next 6 years, like the ring IQ and all this type of stuff, which will fall into play. And yeah. I'm sure it is anyway, but a lot of that stuff will just be second nature. And you could make an argument, you know, the division might sort of be his in a way if he develops as you keep training him so diligently as well. So it's just frightening, isn't it, that he is only 26, like I say. Yeah,
you know, he's like 28 pro fights. You know, he's come a long way. And that's put this way, the losses he's had, he's not had the floor wiped with him. It's not as if he's not been in the fights or anything like that. It's just because he's not done enough himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, partly down to his age and being that not having that mature manly thing about you, also in strength and also in the mind, you know, still a young kid, you know, so might be a big fella. You know, they take longer to mature, don't they, heavyweights?
Yeah.
They're still like fairly young in the mind. So
100%,
but, he's growing into the sport nicely. And, you know, I'm very happy with him. And that, you know, look, let's go back in time. You know, I've heard of certain fighters, you shit, you crap, you're never going to do anything, it's this and that. And all of a sudden now, the world champions. So I'm not really interested in what the public say now. I'm interested in what the public say when they start doing the business and winning.
Well, look at Klitschko. You know, he got put down by a couple of people early in his career. Is it Corey Sanders? I might have that run wrong, but
hey, I think you're right. Did you? It was South African.
Look what he went on to do. You know, like one of the longest reigning heavyweights. Is it the longest reigning? Longer than Joe Lewis? Maybe not, but either way, you get me point. Like, look what he went on to do after being, you know, and Huey hasn't even been tagged like Klitschko was, like you say. He hasn't, to take some of your own words, he hasn't really got wet yet in that respect. So,
well, he has, you know, he took a lot of punches from Povetkin late on in the fight. So, you know, he's proved his mettle there. So he has took some heavy shots. He took the best of Parker's shots, late mid to late. Parker started landing a few. So he has took some heavy artillery in the fights, especially late on when he's tired as well. So, like I said, he ticks all the boxes, and I'm sure he'll do very well. He's a fine athlete. He's dedicated. He lives in the gym. So, you know, he's got all the attributes to get there.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. Like, have you got a specific opponent in mind, or is it like you say, just take the next fight as it comes, or are you just pushing for anyone in particular after the WAC fight?
No, I'm just looking at the whole scene at the moment and just taking a step back and just seeing what's unfolding, really. And we'll have a look at it and we'll make some decisions with you very soon.
When you said about heavyweights maturing later on as well, I think even the likes of Joe Joyce, I mean, he started quite late in the professional game, didn't he? And he's had the fight, a few months back with Dubois, and, you know, people are putting Dubois right up there, aren't they, with, you know, the best heavyweights around. And Joe Joyce done a number on him, and obviously he had to retire because of the injury that he took. But I think with the maturity of heavyweights, like you say, they could be 5, 6, 7 years ago absolutely nobodies, which Huey certainly isn't with his pedigree and his ability. Then a few years down the line, Joe Joyce is now knocking on the door for a heavyweight title shot. And, you know, you've got Alexander Usyk who's there, and, you know, he's lurking around the waters. You've got brilliant fights domestically. Dillian White, I think, would be a brilliant fight with Huey. And,
yeah,
you know, they're very rangy, and they've got massive reach, and but they're both good movers as well. So one of the things that I kind of wanted to pick your brains on was, I seen today on Sky Sports News that Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather are fighting on Sky Box Office. And I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on, this YouTube boxing thing that's happening at the minute. What are your thoughts on that? And if it's got a detrimental impact on the sport of boxing or a positive?
I think it's good for Mayweather's pocket and it's good for Logan Paul's pocket. The rest of it is bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a fight that I'm not even going to bother watching anyway. I've no interest in it.
No,
that's not disrespecting them pair. I think Logan Paul is a very good self-promoter. And I think he's a very clever kid. And you got to take your hat off to him, you know, and not putting any disrespect to him whatsoever. But, you know, this is not boxing. This is something where, you know, they got the media behind it. You know, it's well-promoted. Got massive followings, and, you know, and Mayweather will make a fortune. And, you know, Mayweather, he's getting on. So if he can make a lot of money, millions upon millions, you know, fighting guys like this and get maximum money on a business view, makes perfect sense. But if you're asking me on boxing, it isn't boxing. You know, it's not boxing at all. Otherwise, we don't have kids at 6 years of age in the gym fighting all their life, sweating blood and tears to get where they're getting, do we? If that's the case, we can just lace on a pair of gloves like Logan Paul and just fight for big glory fights. It's just what it is. It's a load of shit, to be honest, in boxing. As fighting, forget it.
Yeah.
There's no danger there. It's just a good money-making scheme and people's interested in it and it makes entertainment. But as far as you're talking to somebody who knows boxing, it's not boxing. You know, I wouldn't go around the corner have a look at it.
Yeah,
time, isn't it?
Do you think there's, I assume you'll say no to this, but do you think there's any weight in what the younger brother said? He got asked about, I think it was Dana White says, who's the guy for it? And the Jake Paul guy went, well, look at my record, 3-0. Does anyone know who Mayweather fought at 3-0? Joshua. Everyone fights bums, basically, at that part of the career. Do you think there's any weight in that? I mean, is 3-0 in particular is pretty much a YouTuber, a basketballer, and then he's had that grappler who's good in 1FC, by the way, over in Asia, but at that Askren. But do you think there's any weight in him retaliating to the 3-0 jibes? Or
let me just say this. I've heard enough of Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather. Good luck to him. Let's talk now about some boxing because that's not boxing.
Yeah,
so let's get back to what I'm used to, boxing. That's not boxing. I'm not interested in that.
Yes,
yeah, 100%. And I think it's nice to hear it from somebody who's got such a deep-rooted history in boxing and in fighting. And I was talking to Steve about, like, what is it with families in the Northwest that are so entrenched in the sport of boxing? And obviously in Liverpool, we've got the Smith family, you know, they've held all the Lonsdale belts, they've got real pedigree and, you know, they've had a couple of world titles. Paul Smith was unlucky against Arthur Abraham over the two fights. And then we've got, you know, the Furies in the Northwest as well. And what is it? Do you think about the Northwest of England that just produces such exceptional fighting men?
Might be the water. I don't know. You could be anything, right? I think, look, you know, boxing, it is what it is. You know, it's, to be fair, there's good fighters everywhere. I think, you know, just like some families, it's in the history of them. It goes back a long time in our family. And that's just what it is. You know, they're dedicated. They've been at it from being kids and they've come through. And they're making a success of themselves. So it's, you know, there's not much more I can say about it, really. You know, it's dedication. You know, the natural talent's there. It's just polishing the stone, like I said, and, you know, doing good things.
Is
that's
that
all I can say about it.
Go on, Steve.
Sorry, is that the most important attribute to you? Dedication rather than talent? Because then you can build on talent, so to speak. Is there a particular attribute you look out for when you see a young fighter who you might think, I'll take him under my wing, sort of like the Spear Shack situation? Is there a particular attribute you look out for in a young man or a young female fighter?
You know, I'll do anybody a good turn, you know. And I know Tony Bellew, respect the fella. We go back a bit and, you know, he's asked me to have a look at him. And you know, I know I'll help anybody, you know. But the thing is, how can I say, you know, you can't turn a stone into a diamond, can you?
No, no.
That's not regarding to young Shaq. He's a major talent. I'm talking about what you've asked me. Would you rather have the hard work and dedication than the talent? You need both ingredients, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I can't go and get a brick out of my house and go and cash it in for 10 million for a diamond, can I?
Well, you know, yeah.
It's a brick, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like racehorses. You can't put a racehorse next to a donkey.
Mm.
You know, I'm just very. I've got to be black and white with it. You know, you've got natural talent or you're pissing in the wind. Because listen, you've got to have them ingredients in you anyway. You've got to have it there. You know, from being a kid. Look, what lads do you know from being children, getting punched up and down everywhere, still living in the gym daily and day in day out at 26. You know, talking about my own son. You know, there's something inside of them there. You know, they've got that natural dedication there. You know, it is what it is. Going back to Savannah again, lifetime in the gym. You know, she started boxing from being a child herself. You know, it's got to be there. So that's why fighters get trainers, because you bring the best out of the fighter, because the fighter may be talented, but although they need guidance. Everybody needs guidance. So, you know, and that's what you're here to do. But, you know, you can't guide a brick or a piece of rock into a diamond.
No, that's a really good analogy. And just on the hard work side, like one of the things that that McGregor was saying, he's like, people just see me, you know, fighting in the cage or whatever. It'll be the same with, you know, Huey or Tyson, anyone, but people don't see the 8 years prior or even before that, you know, the 15 years in the gym, and they just see this person on the TV and they might think, how's he done that? And it's like you say, they don't see the 10 or 15 years of guidance that have gone in behind closed doors, you know, constantly.
Oh, it's a lifetime. It is, you know, and McGregor knows he's a hard trainer and he's at the top of his game. But look, it's a lifetime's work. It's not just climbing in the ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, like I said about my son, 6 years of age.
Yeah.
You know, he's been training since he could really lace a set of gloves on. So, like, it's lifetime's work here. You know, that's what I mean. It's to get on the level, to be on that kind of level is a lifetime's work. You know, that's what we do. It's like when you get a job at 17, 18, you leave school, you know, and obviously as years goes on, you keep doing it, you keep doing it, you get better off, you get families, you get a house and all that. You know, nothing comes overnight. Everything's a lifetime journey. If you want to get stuff, the only chance you've got to get stuff straight away is winning the lottery.
Yeah. Well, we said that with our last guest last week, in society now, and a lot of the online culture, the Instagram, people do want this instant gratification thing, or it's sort of missold to them in a way. And it's not the case, like you say, unless you win the lottery, it's hard graft and you know, lifetimes of work in some aspects. So it's just like society is being missold that lead, I feel, a lot of the times now with the younger people and things. So
I respect a lot of people, but I'm going to respect somebody that's worked all of his life and earned what he's got.
Yeah.
Whether it be money, whether it be boxing, you know, I respect people that work hard, you know, and achieve things, you know, because that's what it is, you know. And anybody who's got success, you know, it's hard out there. Nobody's gifted to anything. Everybody's got to be clever at what they do to get forward. So, like I say, you know, all that is respected. But, you know, me, I'm not going to respect a lottery winner because what is that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the difference. Same in boxing. Lifetime's journey. That's why a lot of boxers on the world level, they need the respect they deserve, because it, in them training camps, it's a lonely world out there.
Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to bring me on to my next point. I think, obviously, the journey that, you know, you've had in the game, you know, it's well documented, your massive figure in boxing. I just wanted to ask you, when you were preparing for Tyson and Klitschko, what was the atmosphere and the sense of what was about to happen? What was it like, you know, before the camp and before the fight? Did you guys just have a sense as a family and as a unit that this was your time? And when you went into the fight, I think, you know, certainly me, everyone that I know was certainly rooting for Tyson to do the business over there. But, you know, going into the Lions then against, you know, Klitschko, you know, the king of kings at the time, what was, you know, the atmosphere like and the anticipation for that fight?
Well, the bigger the occasion, the more you got to look at it as what it is. It's just a man and it's just a fight.
Yeah.
As long as you get the fair play, that's it. You know, doesn't matter where it is. Ultimately, crowds can be screaming, they can do whatever they want. And, you know, if you're a man to be intimidated by all that, then you shouldn't be a world champion. So these are the kind of things which, you know, which I instill as well in fighters and don't want to believe in. You know, look, provided you get fair play and everything's properly, doesn't matter where you fight, doesn't matter who you're fighting. You know, if you believe in yourself and you've got the capabilities, then why can't you win? You know, that's the bottom line. So forget all the hype train, you know, because it's the work that you do when you're a fighter in the gym. It's the work that you put in, the dedication there, and you know what you're doing. And, you know, you're not to be sidetracked with anything. You know, look, the ones that can do, the ones that do, they always seem to speak less, because there's no need to speak telling everybody what you can do. You know, you just got to get on, do all your hard work and put it into practice and get on and do it. You know, that's the main thing. Nobody's interested in bollocks and bullshit and hyper crap to sell a ticket. That's not my job, because if that was my job, I'd be a fucking promoter. Yeah. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm not a promoter. I don't give a toss about all that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested in the fighter getting in, you know, and doing the business and winning, coming back home, and that's it. I don't even go to boxing fights, you know, because I ain't got time, because I'm living in the gym every day. So I'm interested in doing one thing, getting a date, getting a victory, getting home, moving on.
Yeah.
That's it for me. So I'm not interested in anything else, to be fair. And the same with a fighter, you know, they know what they got to do. You know, we don't overlook anybody. Everybody's a serious threat, like you said. And the treat is serious. All of Savannah's fights, all of Yui's fights, are world title fights, as far as I'm concerned. They've all got to be dealt with in a serious manner.
Mm, yeah, 100%. One of the things you said there is if it's fair, and in the build-up to that Tyson-Klitschko fight, there was that worry, it's in Germany and the judging. And well, why do you think that is? Like, one thing my dad used to say, well, if it's in Germany or if it's in place X, he's going to have to knock him out to get a draw. And you saw it last week with Liam Smith, and I've not watched that fight yet against the Russian fella.
You know what it is? I've heard so much bollocks around that Klitschko fight, and who's done what, and who's done this, and who's done the other. I'm not interested in talking about it anymore, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we've done what we've done, you know, and that's it. There was myself and Mick Hennessy dealing with all of that bollocks. There was no fucker else there. There was nobody else dealing with anything. Yeah. Me and Mick Hennessy dealt with all the shenanigans. We dealt with everything. So I'm not interested in anybody putting a twist on it to suit themselves. You know, it is what it is. So I just want to move on from all of that and let's move on to the future.
No, obviously, like, that's done. But I just mean in general, you know, judging in boxing, like, you go back a couple of years.
Let me say this to you, yeah? If it's not fair and I see it's not fair, I'm walking away and I'm taking the fighter with me. Simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair with it, because I'm fair. If that fighter beats my fighter, I give him the ultimate respect. You know, there's not a problem. Mm. You know, it's like when Yui fought Povetkin. No, for me, there's a couple of rounds in it, but I give Povetkin edge in that fight. It wasn't buying the rounds they said. But, you know, congratulating Povetkin, that's it. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in fair fights. I'm not interested in anything else. So, like I said, if I'm not going to get fair play, there's no way I'm going to let my fighter fight. That's a fact.
Because well, that's what you want, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we ain't training in the gym, killing ourselves to go and get a paycheck. A paycheck? What's that anyway? Can have all the money in the world and be the biggest prick on the planet.
100%, so, yeah.
Money's irrelevant. Don't make you a big macho. Don't make you have a big set of balls, yeah? You never had money when you started, like anything else. So to go in the ring, what I'm trying to say is to go in the ring and think, look, I just need the money. I'll take the money. You know, I want to get paid. You know, everybody wants to get paid. And then you sacrifice the fighter. Then one, you don't deserve to be there. Secondly, you won't get world champions because you're happy just to get in there and play a part. Look, I train, work with my fighters day in, day out to become world champions. Nothing else I'm interested in. Them becoming the best they can be and being a world champion. If it's anything less, I've got better things to do with my time. I'll go over to the south of France, yeah? I'll start living with my family, fuck the boxing, yeah? And do something else because I certainly ain't in this for part-time money or anything else. I'm in it so they get to be world champions. Otherwise, I'm hanging up the full shebang and watching the telly.
That's brilliant. So yeah, that's the type of insight and passion that you want for it. And would you just say in there, it's all about getting the winning, you know, progressing up towards getting the title. When you implement something, you know, specific in training, like a strategy or a specific movement towards a fighter, and your fighter then goes and executes that in real time, that must be a massive win for you and the training staff.
Oh, it is. You know, look, I think boxing is the best sport in the world for me. You know, I've always been passionate about it. I love the boxing side. And, you know, to get the fighters, to guide them, doing the things you've worked on in the ring, and having what it's about is doing a brilliant performance. And, you know, it brings out true character in everybody because, look, everything doesn't go right all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but this is a great thing about this sport and what shows the real character. Picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, correcting your mistakes, going again until you get it right. And, you know, that's human life. And, you know, makes you a better person for that as well. So it's all good things. So boxing does good things. So it's and it's a great thing for me because, you know, I enjoy, you know, when they're winning, seeing how happy the fighter is. You know, that's what matters to me. That's what I get the biggest buzz out of more than anything. It's at the end of the fight, like seeing like my son, Savannah, you know, the way they are, what it means to them. You know, that means the world. There's a true saying, some things money can't buy. Yeah. And, you know, that that glory of the hard work paying off. You know, it's brilliant to see. You know, and it's brilliant as well. And nice to get the respect off the fans.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Because it's all nice, you know. Look, no matter what we are, nobody wants to be talked bad about. Nobody likes to be, you know, or you're crap or you're this or you're that, you know. Although you're used to it in this game and you don't listen to it a lot. But basically, it's nice to be treated nice and it's nice to treat people with respect because we all thrive off being nice to each other. So, you know, it rubs off and it works. So it's all a mixture from the fans, the you know, the applaud they get for the achievements, what it means to them, you know, so it's a big thing. And that's why I'm in boxing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just talking to you now, you seem like a man who's got his principles in place. You know, you're at the age now where you're training different fighters. And is this attitude something you're instilled with in your son and in Savannah and anyone who comes across you? You know, you seem very well-drilled, concise, but you obviously command respect as well. Is that something you try and instill into people on your team and things like that?
Yeah, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, I like nice people. When I get respect, you know, I give everything. But if I don't get respect, I'm giving you nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to work with me. No. I don't like not nice people. You know, nobody does. and I don't suffer anything because what for a monetary gain? Not interested. I don't need anybody's money, do I? So I'm happy. And it's nothing about that. It ain't a business thing for me. It's about achieving. It's all about achievements anyway.
Yeah.
Listen, when you're dead in the box, what are you going to do? You ain't taking anything, are you?
No.
So people remember you for being doing good things in your life. You know, so that's the thing. We all need to be doing good things. And we can't do good things by ourselves. We all need good people around us. So, you know, I'm fortunate to have good people around me. I've got good friends around me in and out of boxing. You know, it's I've got the fighters. You know, they respect me, I respect them. And that's it. It works.
Yeah, that's a really top insight. And, you know, it'd be handy if more people followed that thought process as well in this day and age. Just getting on to, wouldn't to call it the elephant in the room, but obviously the big heavyweight fights being agreed last week, or it's very close. And as a fan, I can't see Anthony landing a glove on Tyson just personally. What's your prediction on it? Have you got a prediction? Do you even consider that fight? Or
I haven't considered it. You know, look, me and Tyson went our separate ways after the Klitschko fight, and that's it. So I wish both fighters all the best. It's nothing to do with me. But I think it's good for boxing. We're going to have a unified heavyweight champion, and that's what matters. So it'll be fantastic. And, you know, best of luck to both of them.
Yeah.
We haven't had one since Lennox Lewis. Sorry, Steve. We haven't had a unified world heavyweight champion since Lennox, have we? And it's brilliant that, you know, they're both British lads and you know, they're going to go at it. And, you know, as you say, as a fan and as a layman of boxing, which we are, it'll be a spectacle to watch. I mean, I used to love waking up 2-3 in the morning to watch Tyson and Lewis or Tyson or whoever, or Bruno, you know. The big heavyweight fights have just always got that draw, haven't they? So it's definitely...
Oh, 100%. You know, there's nothing like it. All them fights you're talking about, yeah, we're all... You know, I'm a fan myself, you know, so we all look inspired to watch these type of fights, so they don't come round often enough. So definitely. Be fantastic.
I was just going to sort of finish, Peter, because we know you've got the boxing on as well, so it never stops.
Oh, yeah, 6 o'clock, I'm going to watch that.
You'll have time for that. We'll have
it off by then, but I was just going to kind of finish on, you know, who's the best fighter, you know, pound for pound, like you've ever seen, you know, in your life? I know it's a broad question, but anyone that we want to get on that's in relation to boxing, it's kind of how we'd like to finish on.
There's just too many, you know. I'm a fan of a lot of them. I really did like Sugar Ray Leonard. I thought he was an absolute fabulous talent. Mm. You know, the speed of him as well and the boxing brain, you know, unbelievable. You know, Muhammad Ali was as much as a great icon outside of the ring as what he was in it, you know. So everybody had a lot of love and admiration for him, myself included. I think he's a great human being, he is. And what an ambassador for the sport he was.
Mm.
And then you're going right back. You got your Sonny Listons, your Jack Dempsey's, and all of these, Jack Johnson, you know, all great, great fighters. There's too many to list. So
should I give you a top 15, really? Shouldn't I?
You might as well give me a top 50. There's just too many. You know, Mike Tyson, you know, if he hadn't run off the rails,
and
listen, at this level, there's a lot of money grabbers in the back scene, you know. They'll go to fighters, they'll get in their ear hole, talk to them. If Mike Tyson would have stuck to his original team, can you imagine what he'd have done?
No, he
was pretty unbeatable. And then he got on all the shit on the fame wagon and all that, and it just went to his head and it toppled over. But just imagine, you know, what a fighter he was.
That was the dream team, wasn't it? Him and Cuss. You look back at the sound bites and Cuss's philosophy.
100%. Yeah. That's what I mean. So there's been great fighters. He's a great fighter, Mike Tyson. Fabulous in his day. And who else? Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, you know, all top fighters. And the fights with Evander Holyfield and Riddick Bowe, it was exceptional fights then. You know, so there's been too many to list, I'm afraid. I can't really point out one. You got to say Mayweather's right up there.
Yeah.
You know, special kind of fighter, you know, but. You know, he's not the best amongst the best ever, I'd say. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
Every fighter's the best of their era. They can only beat us in front of them in their era. You can't put people back 50 years to a current day heavyweight or lightweight because it's not fair. It was the best of their time, and they need the respect for that as well. So there's pound for pounds greats in every era, and I've probably gone through 100 years right there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, well, that's brilliant.
Yeah, thanks for coming on anyway. Obviously, you didn't have to do it, so thanks a lot for your time there. It's a massive help for us, and it just pushes the channel up. So, you know, thanks very much for that.
Well, to be honest with you, that's why I've come on, because I like to get people like yourselves forward in boxing, and, you know, if it helps growing your channel, that's why I'm doing it, because that's what it's all about. It ain't about being a big stuck-up, not wanting to do it, and only want to seek famous interviews and all that shit, is it? It's about going back and bringing young people on like yourselves with the interviews. You know, you're doing a good interview, and I wish you all the very best with it. And it's nice to see, same with young fighters, it's nice to see people start and work their way up. And any help that people like us can do, we should be doing it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That's a lovely message. You're welcome. So thanks very much for your time. Enjoy the fight tonight, and we'll be watching Huey and Savannah's progress all the way.
100%. Yeah. Take care, guys. Nice speaking with you.
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yes.
All the best.
Bye, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.